This morning it's our last in the series of Fruitfulness on the Frontline, and Graham's going to be speaking a bit later. But before we do that, we're going to read some verses which actually Graham's going to pick up on as part of his sermon a bit later, which is in Revelation 22, verses 1 to 5. The angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb through the middle of the street of the city. Also on either side of the river, the tree of life with its 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit each month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be any accursed, but the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it. And his servants will worship him. And they will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. And night will be no more. They will need no lamp. They will need no light of lamp or sun. For the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever. Graham, now as he comes, let us pray. God's word with us. Lord, thank you for Graham. We just pray now as he comes and shares, you will speak through him. Lord, we thank you for this gift now, and we pray that you will use this money for your glory, for those that are serving you in this country and abroad. And Lord, we just give this time to you now. Open our hearts, open our ears to hear your word in Jesus' name. Amen.
So we now know that the musicians don't know every song in the book. But let's just take a moment to say thanks to them, shall we? For every week they're out here leading us and taking time out to do so. And we thank you. And we appreciate the gifts that you have. And it's not said often enough. Things everywhere. I was saying to Matt earlier on, oh, to have an organized mind. I've got paper here, there, and everywhere, but we'll see where we go. And it's fallen to me, because Dave's away. He asked me if I'd just step in and speak for him, to round off our series that we've been doing on the fruitfulness on the front line. Have you enjoyed the series? Yeah. I have. I've quite liked the interaction between the Sundays and the sort of broader overall theme of the Sunday, if you like, and the home group sort of application in a, you know, in a fresh and different way. We weren't just going over the same thing, was it? It was like looking at it in different ways, and I particularly like that, although I must say we've missed the last two because we've been doing looking at Alpha as well to try and get that going. But it's been good. And we've gone, the first Sunday, Ian looked at how we were created to be fruitful, and how in the beginning there was the tree of life in the garden, along with Adam and Eve, and everything was meant to be until we in Adam messed it up, went our own way, and ruined it all. And then we've looked at various points throughout the scriptures on the Sunday, how God's intention and desire is still to have this people, once again, joined with him in union, producing fruit for his glory. And we've looked at the idea of the vineyard and how Israel was to be a vineyard producing fruit. Then we looked at how Jesus was the true vine, and that only joined to him can we produce anything, any fruit that's worth it. We looked at the demands of the kingdom of God into our lives. We looked how we produce fruit by walking in the Spirit. And Peter was here the other week. Peter Brind. And how preaching the gospel produces a harvest of people responding to God's truth. When Peter Glasgow talked to us last week. And here we have now come full circle to the new heaven and the new earth, to the tree of life bearing forth its fruit for the healing of the nations. And God, in all his fullness, dwelling with his people. It's like in the words of the great Christian rock and roller Larry Norman. And now we'll live forever in another land, and everything will finish like it first was planned. Did you get your invitation to come play in the band and let the sun begin to rain? Thank you. And it's easy now in trying to finish and sum up all these things to just sort of concentrate on the glory that's to be. But as we've been remembering, even this morning, in remembering things, we've also thought about, well, it's not just the past, it's the now, and it's the future. How do we get to where we're going? What sustains us? What keeps us going? What empowers us from here to there? And it struck me as I was looking at this and trying to think what the Lord wanted to sort of talk about was, yes, there's the tree in the beginning and in the Garden of Eden. And yes, there's the tree at the end of the time producing its fruit each time. But what sustained it was there was always a river. There's always the water of God. The tree can't exist without water. And we see the river of the water of life as clear as crystal flowing from the throne of God. And wherever God brings forth life and fruit and freshness and newness, there is always a water around. There are scripture after scripture. And I'm going to read some. They're in no particular order. I won't give you the references because there's a few of them. But we're starting in Genesis. In the middle of the garden was the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And there was a river, water in the garden, and it flowed from Eden. And it flowed out from Eden to the rest of the world. Look upon Zion, for there the Lord will be our mighty one. And it will be like a place of broad rivers and streams. And he will bring forth justice and peace. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. He will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots into the stream, so it does not fear when heat comes, for its leaves are always green. It has no worries in the years of drought. It never fails to bear fruit, for its roots are in the water. How precious and priceless is your unfailing love. All men find refuge in the shadow of your wings. They feast in the abundance of your house, and you give them to drink from your rivers of delight. For with you is the fountain of life. In your light we see light. The poor and the needy search for water, but there is none. Their tongues are parched with thirst. But I, the Lord, will answer them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. I will make rivers flow on barren heights and springs within valleys. I will turn deserts into pools of water and the parched grounds into spring. I will pour water on thirsty land and streams on dry land. And I will pour out my spirit on your offsprings. And I will pour out my spirit on all people. And your sons and daughters will prophesy, and your old men will dream dreams. And in that day, the mountains will drip with new wine. The hills will flow with milk. Or the ravines of Judah will run with water. And a fountain will flow out of the Lord's house and will water the valleys. Wherever God produces life, there's this river of water, of his water, of his life. There's one more verse, and almost you could say this is what I'm sort of wanting to sort of us to focus on in a sense. It's Psalms 46. It says, there's a river whose streams make glad the city of God. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved, and she shall not fail. What's this river? Well, it's the river of God's grace, isn't it? It's the river of his mercy. It's the river of his forgiveness. It's the river of water and blood that flowed out of Jesus' crucifixion. It's the river of life. It's the river of the Holy Spirit. I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and of spirit. For flesh gives birth to flesh, but spirit gives birth to spirit. you shouldn't be surprised when I tell you, you must be born again. Born again of the Spirit, born again to eternal life. And where do you find this water, this river? Where but in Jesus? Jesus said, if anyone's thirsty, come to me and drink. It's interesting when Jesus said that, actually. It was at the Feast of Tabernacles, or the Feast of Booths, which was a feast where the Jews remembered their wanderings in the desert and how God provided for them shelter and sustenance in the wilderness. And they particularly remember how Moses brought forth water for them from a rock. And part of their celebration in their festival is that there's a saying, well, I don't know if they actually say it in the festival, but it's a saying that they had, was that as the first redeemer, Moses, to them who redeemed them out of Egypt, caused a well to spring up, so the last redeemer shall cause waters to spring up, and a fountain shall come forth from the Lord. And Jesus stood up in that very festival when they were remembering and shouted, as it says in loud voices, me, really. If you're thirsty, come to me and drink. And he went on and he said, and whoever believes in me, as the scriptures have said, streams of living water shall flow from him. It's interesting that the Jews had another traditional saying about the difference between the first temple that was made, Solomon's temple, and the second temple that they made after the exile, when they rebuilt the temple. And they said that there were some things missing from the second temple that were present in the first temple. And there was a few things. But one of them was that the presence of God was not there in the same way. The Shekinah, as they called it, the word is the presence of God dwelling in the Spirit, by the Spirit, in his temple. And it was now absent. And Jesus now says that if you come to me and drink, out of you shall flow streams of living water. You'll well up with it and it'll flow out of you. Any who believe on him, he said of this, of the Holy Spirit who was to be given because he was not yet glorified. But he was like restoring the Spirit to the temple of God, if you like. In fact, they were so incensed by him claiming these claims that they tried to seize him, but they couldn't lay hold of him. In the chapter before, he claimed to be the manna that had come down out of heaven. And that was another thing that they remembered Moses supplying for them and had the similar saying. The first redeemer produced manna, so shall the last redeemer. And they were looking for him, but they couldn't realize that it was Jesus. So, where the life that we need to continue with God is given to us by the power of the Holy Spirit dwelling with us. God's love present and active in our lives. There's one more scripture I want to look at about this river, and then we'll sort of try and wrap it sort of up. Ezekiel had a vision of that river in chapter 47. We won't read it because it goes on quite a bit. But it talks about a river that flows out of the temple and started flowing out. It started shallow. It got deeper as it went till it got very, very deep, till it got so wide nobody could cross it. And it flowed out of the temple, out towards the Dead Sea. And the Dead Sea was salty. And where the river went, it brought life and brought freshness and newness to the Dead Sea. So there was fish in it, and there was fish in all the river, and there was lots of people fishing from the river. And on the banks of this mighty river were trees growing again, producing fruit for healing. the river of God flowing. And it flows today. Where does it flow from? It flows from the temple. Where's the temple of God today? On earth, where's the temple of God today? Me and you. Awesome as it seems. God, by his very spirit, that same Shekinah glory that they talk about, dwelling in me and you. They got another word for spirit, and there's all of it, which has got its root in Ruach, or which is like the breath of God, the action of God. And the presence of God not only dwells in us, Jesus says, but it'll flow from you. And wherever the river goes, it produces life and it produces fruit for God. We know that because we just read all those scriptures, and God doesn't lie. It isn't a physical river, is it? You don't go out and find it. Jesus said the kingdom of God isn't over there or over here or over there. It's amongst you. It's amidst. It's in your midst. It's the life that is springing from you. And together, it also flows from us, as well as individuals. We're being built into a temple fit for God's own dwelling place. Living stones joined together, from out of whom the river of God can flow to a thirsty world. We used to sing various choruses. We've had a few blasts in the past. Here's a few more. Love is flowing like a river, flowing out through you and me, spreading out into the desert, setting captives free. Let it flow through me. There's a river of life flowing out through me. It makes the lame to walk. It makes the blind to see. It opens prison doors. It sets the captives free. There's a river of life flowing out through me. So spring up, O well, within my soul. Spring up, O well, and make me whole. Spring up, O well, and give to me that life, that river, abundantly. We need to somehow concur or agree, stir ourselves, if you like, to hear what God's saying to us. That he gives to us of his river of delights. So that it's not just to satisfy us, but so it can flow out from us to a thirsty world. And eventually, like we've seen in the passage, that it produce healing for the nations as God comes to dwell amongst his people again. We need to know that God is active in us like that. That he sustains us and enables us, empowers us to live his life here and now. It's not sort of get saved and then one day we get whisked away to heaven. That's not it. Rather, it's get saved and get stuck in. Pray, your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. How does that come in? Well, as we pray, we hear and find things that God wants us to do. And we do them for him. He prepares for us works to do. We have that song, don't we? We are God's masterpiece. I was asking Rich about it earlier. Being prepared to do the works that God has prepared for us long ago to do. And they're not great big things necessarily. They're not, oh, I'm called off to Africa or something, though some of us might be. But like we've been learning in what we've been looking at in our series together, it's where the rubber meets the road, where we are. God calls us to show forth his fruit in his life. God has things for us to do, you know. Each and every one of us. I know somebody who used to told me would notice things like that. Went into a shop once, and the guy in the little corner shop was pricing some stuff, and he got a price stuck on his hand, and it wasn't very much, so £1.20 or something. But the person used felt God saying to just mention the idea of value and worth. And sort of so made a joke sort of about, £1.20, not a lot. And he said, well, Some people think that's all I'm worth. And out there flowed a conversation. The person didn't get saved or anything, but who knows what else was going on in his life, and that there was some input there. I know of another person stood once, got knowing some people, and felt that he should speak to somebody and just say about, why not a silly statement. They already felt that this person knew the Lord, but they didn't know them personally, and just said to them about swimming in the deep in the swimming baths. And the person that they spoke that to turned back around and said, well, that's really very useful, because I've just joined, our fellowship is just all joined together into a big fellowship, and I'm feeling rather lost in the depth of it all and the vastness of it all. And it spoke to them. God has these moments for us to spot, and to learn, to see. He provides us with his river of his Holy Spirit to enable us to move and to go in these ways. And we need to be willing to get... When Ezekiel had his vision, the guy had to say to him, get in the river. Get in there and wade on. And we need to be able to trust God that he'll help us to live his life, supernaturally live it as well as naturally, out there for people to begin to see the wonders of our God. Obviously, we could, individually, we can interrupt the flow of that river, obviously, by personal sin or doubt or whatever. And we need to obviously keep a clean sheet with the Lord about that. But also, sort of corporately, we can hinder the flow of God amongst us and out from us. And I feel that just recently there's been a couple of points that has been raised with that. But Peter Brin came the other week, and he took a strange thing. Listen to the tape again, but at the end of it, he's there and he said how he'd come to know the fellowship here. How he was, you know, been enjoyed the fellowship here and knew it and felt sort of almost not part of it, but you know, where he was. And then he said, so don't please let yourselves implode by sort of being touchy with each other or being a bit at odds with each other. And I think there was a word from the Lord there, you know, for us to think about, you know, are we a bit off with each other? Is there something we need to sort out with one another? We need to go to one another and say, sorry, or whatever. And then Peter Glasgow last week, when he was talking about, we don't follow after this person or that person, or this thing or that thing going on in church. But God has people doing this and doing that and doing the other. Brilliant. But it's God who brings forth the life. And it's easy to just sort of center on one and favorite or something. So I think that's something that we need to watch out for amongst ourselves. And there's one thing that I would like to add to that, is that we mustn't scorn what God is up to. Or I don't think that it's quite there. That's the right thing to be doing. I think it ought to be this and that. If God started something amongst us, then we need to run with it to some extent. We can't control what God does. How does a river flow? I need Matt up here now. How does it form its course? I don't know. It washes certain rocks that are softer away. Forms silt, doesn't it? It does all sorts of things for a river to run its course. But it's all sort of in a way, we don't control it in a sense. We can control it. We can put in weirs and culverts and all sorts of river enhancements to try and control a river so it doesn't. But you can't do that with God's river. If you try to control God's river in that sort of way, you end up in where they were in Jeremiah 2, where it says that they'd built their own cisterns and their own culverts. And it didn't hold any water, and the water that it did hold was stagnant. You can't control what God's up to, but you can go where he's going. And we were talking yesterday, me and Matt was saying about his job and how his dad had a sort of saying where some people say that the door will open. Well, of course it will. That does happen for people. But also, you need to push the door sometimes to see if it will open, to see if that's what God has got for you. Or if it won't open, then obviously that's not it. We need to be in the flow of what God's up to, allowing him to do the work that he's doing in our lives and through us and to others. Let's go where he leads and directs. Let's get in the river. Let's be ready to offer prayer, encouragement to the folk around us, to speak the gospel to those he's bringing to us. Let's invite folk to Alpha. And remember, I'm just thinking of this just before I come out, so I haven't got this written. It says that in Ezekiel, he took me back and showed me that the river flowed from the temple. And there's a sense where God takes us back and reminds us of what it was like when we, not when necessarily when we first knew him, but reminds us of his delights, of his presence with us. We just recently had a Valentine's Day, haven't we? And it's very useful for some of us to have Valentine's Day, because love just becomes in and out every day, doesn't it? It's just there, so I did. And it's good to have Valentine's Day every now and then, that you can surprise your other half or something, rather. We're not very good at it in our house, but this year I did buy a little gold bunny with a rabbit with a little bell on. But you know, God does that. He brings us back. He has little Valentine's Days for us to remember how we were enthralled with him, how we were fell in love with him, how we were excited with him. Yes, that love changes over time. But he wants us to drink of his river of delights, to refresh ourselves in the river that he supplies. There is a song, we don't know it here, but I just want to read parts of it because it sort of sums up this idea of God bringing us back to his beauty and his love for us. Jesus, your beauty is filling this temple. Jesus, your fragrance is drawing me closer. And with every step I take, you lead me into the holy place. And it washes me clean, for my eyes have seen Messiah. And I'll jump into the holy river. I'll lose myself to my deliverer. I'll jump into the holy river. I'll lose myself to my deliverer. For in this holy place, I see your face, Messiah. But it don't leave us there. Often it's the chorus, it's the culmination of a song, isn't it? Or something, or the product of the song, if you like. But this is the second verse. Jesus, your passion is filling this temple. Jesus, your mercy is drawing me closer. And with every step I take, you lead me into a world that aches. And I cannot rest till eyes have seen Messiah. So I'll jump in the holy river, because I can't do it on my own. And I'll lose myself to my deliverer. And I'll go out and I'll be a stupid fool for Christ. That's what we're talking about. That sounds like I'm just trying to encourage you, you know. I'm not saying I'm doing it. In this holy place, I see your face, Messiah. May he bless his word. May he stir up the river within us. And may we go forth from this place.
Okay, thanks, Graham. That's our time concluded this morning. Thank you, everyone, for coming. Let's just pray as we go. Just conclude our service. And if you want to speak to Graham or anyone afterwards or pray, then please come and speak to us and we'll be more than happy to do that. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for that river of life. Thank you that it flows through and out of us. And may each day your spirit just move us, change us, challenge us, draw us closer to you. Lord, we thank you again for all you've done for us. We praise you, Lord. You are so wonderful. Bless us now as we go. May we go with your peace and your blessing, because we ask this in your name.